A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 109. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Sapphire and Steel, the audio dramas. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Sapphire and Steel was a classic ITV series that was later revived on audio as a series by Big Finish Audio that is available on CDs and sold to the public. The first season of the audio dramas was 5 individual stories with 1 or 2 CDs in each. And it was released, those 5, in 2005.
So yes, we're going to be talking about these audio dramas. And what we'd like to do here on British Invaders is from time to time look at some of the TV shows that have spun off into other media. So perfect opportunity here for us, Brian, to talk about Sapphire and Steel again. As you say, first came out in 2005. Since then, they've had 2 more seasons of stories, another 10 stories in total. And it's quite a fun series to talk about. There's lots of spooky goings on. There's investigations into problems with time. And this won't be the first time we use this phrase, but they've quite memorably been described as science fiction ghost stories, which is a pretty apt description, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I think that description worked for the TV series and also for the audios. And there is, of course, the possibility that Big Finish may produce more Sapphire and Steel audios. They do have the license to do that. It does not look like there are any more coming at this point. The last releases were in 2008. This is, as you mentioned, Damon, the first time that we are covering a spin-off of a British sci-fi TV series rather than a TV series itself. And that's something new that we're trying out, and hopefully we'll do that maybe once a year or so.
Yep, that's the plan. It's an interesting sort of diversion for us here. And as you say, a good opportunity to talk about this show, Sapphire and Steel, again.
Absolutely. Sapphire and Steel, the original TV series, ran on ITV for a few years, 1979 to 1982. They did a total of 6 serialized stories. There were a total of 34 episodes divided into those 6 stories. It was created by PJ Hammond, and he really set the tone and the ideas for the series. And on the TV series, P.J. Hammond actually wrote 5 of the 6 series. So he was really the main influence behind the stories and the ideas and the setting and how the series worked on TV.
Yeah, very much a showrunner. I mean, he was the sort of driving force behind the television shows. It was really his project, I think, wasn't it, Brian?
Yes, the original director was involved quite a bit as well, but really a lot of it was coming from PJ Hammond.
So we had Sapphire and Steel, and they were played by 2 very successful actors. David McCallum played Steel, perhaps best known to me from The Men from U.N.C.L.E. and from the Great Escape movie. But he's had a very long and successful career and he's still active. And Sapphire was played by Joanna Lumley, who at the time was probably most famous for having just been in The New Avengers. But she'd also been a Bond girl and, of course, has since gone on to be very well-known for Absolutely Fabulous. So they played the title characters, Sapphire and Steel, who were sort of mysterious operatives or investigators from some otherworldly or other dimension, it seemed, who had to investigate and correct problems with time or anomalies in time. And they worked for some strange agency or force, which never quite, I think, fully explained in the show, Brian. But they're led to sort of, you know, get involved with these mysteries of time and try and put them right.
One of the hallmarks of Sapphire and Steel was not what you knew, but what you didn't know. It was a series that had a very mysterious air about it. And the ideas of who these characters were, where they were from, exactly why they did things or exactly what they could do. These were all things that were mysterious that we didn't know. So one of the things that made Sapphire and Steel interesting and popular was the fact that there were always questions that were unanswered and would remain unanswered. And it was so much about what you didn't know rather than what you did know. There were other operatives and specialists that showed up from time to time who were people similar to Sapphire and Steel, with names like Jet and Lead and Silver. In the TV series, there were two that appeared. Lead appeared in one of the stories. He was played by Val Pringle. And Silver appeared in a couple, very memorably played by David Collins. And they would have very spooky things happening in the series, where you would have things that were old that could be nursery rhymes or photographs or paintings, objects that were old in some ways being mixed into things that were new, being there in the present day or being associated and closely put together with things that were new. And in the world of Sapphire and Steel, this mix of old and new things is something that is very dangerous and has the potential to allow a breakthrough, to trigger something that will cause these breaks in time that can be so damaging that Sapphire and Steel are there to fix. And generally you have some regular humans who are there and get caught up with what's going on as well. But Sapphire and Steel are always more concerned with fixing whatever the problem is with time, fixing these time breaking out and these sorts of things. And they're not always as concerned about the humans who get caught in the middle of things. And sometimes the humans suffer because of that, and sometimes they don't.
Yes, I mean, you know, although the agents or the operatives who appear, including Sapphire and Steel, they look human to us, it's quite clear, as you say, from their sort of actions that they're not human, and they don't seem particularly concerned about the fate of the humans if the problems of time are more pressing or more important to them. So it's an interesting show, covered by Brian and Xander way back in the very first episode of British Invaders, which you can find along with all the other episodes on our website. And quite, as I said, quite memorably, I think, Brian, described at the time by yourselves as science fiction ghost stories. As you say, they have this spooky feel to them where odd objects or moments or even nursery rhymes seem to be acting as triggers to set off these disturbances which Sapphire and Steel just arrive to investigate.
I no longer remember where that phrase, science fiction ghost stories, comes from, but it really does fit. There are things that are not exactly ghosts, but sometimes described as ghosts, sometimes not, but they really sort of seem like ghosts and fit into that type of feel and that type of genre, while definitely having a science fiction sort of feel as well.
It does, yes. So all the original episodes of Sapphire and Steel are available on DVD. You can also find some of the episodes to watch on YouTube if you want to just get a feel for the show. And of course, do go back and listen to British Invaders Episode 1, which you'll find at BritishInvaders.com. So that was the original Sapphire and Steel show.
Yes, and a great show, well worth watching. And then we get to Big Finish. Big Finish Productions was formed in 1998 to produce audio dramas based on TV science fiction series and based on different types of things. They first started with the Bernice Summerfield character from the Doctor Who novels and spin-off novels, and they did some things based on her character with her own adventures. And very soon they did get licenses to start doing other series. They do audio dramas based on Doctor Who and spin-offs, their own spin-offs of Doctor Who. Their sort of main output as a company is Doctor Who related, and they have tremendous number of Doctor Who related releases up in the hundreds. There are really a lot of them. And they went on to do things based on The Tomorrow People and Dark Shadows. More recently, they've gotten into things like Stargate and Highlander. They've really done quite a few different things.
That's right. And they've also perhaps branched out into other things away from television science fiction. So in the world of comics, they have done some 2000 AD drama productions, including Judge Dredd and Strontium Dog stories. But they've also done things like Sherlock Holmes, and they have a line which is just a drama showcase where I think they just do productions of new and interesting audio plays.
Yeah, many of those on the drama showcase are audio versions of stage plays that are interesting or things of that sort.
And on a similar line, they also now distribute for another company, a sort of sister company called Textbook Stuff, who do things like Dickens, Bram Stoker and M.R. James stories with readings of those, which are really quite good as well, Brian.
Yes, they are. They do sort of readings with full audio production and music and sound effects and the like, which is something that Big Finish has become known for, is that they do very good audio production work. So things sound very good on their releases generally.
That's right, they do. And also they've become known because their production team includes some fairly well-known Doctor Who names. In particular, we've got Nicholas Briggs, who now does, I think, the Dalek and Cybermen voices for the new Doctor Who. But he also appears as an actor, and he was in Torchwood, Children of Earth, and he's been in various other things. He writes and directs as well. He's quite a sort of multi-talented guy, Nicholas Briggs.
Yes, he's done some tremendous stuff for Big Finish and for other groups, including the BBC as well.
And then another actor, Barnaby Edwards, who's actually been an operator inside Daleks on the new Doctor Who. But again, like Nicholas Briggs, he's also a bit of a Renaissance man because he writes and acts, and he also paints as well. And I think Textbook Stuff, with the dramatic readings of classic fiction, is largely his project, I think, Brian.
Yes, it is. That was really him taking that idea of working with these old classic stories and poetry as well, and doing things with that, working with many of the people who are involved with Big Finish and doing some distribution through Big Finish as well.
And of course, they've had involvement of several actors from Doctor Who as well. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that David Tennant actually appeared in a Big Finish Doctor Who audio before he became the 10th Doctor, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, he was in more than one, and he was in a number of things. He was in a couple of the Doctor Who main range things for Big Finish. He was in the Dalek Empire spinoff as a major character. He was in Doctor Who Unbound. They even did another comic book based thing. They did the Luther Arkwright audio production that actually starred David Tennant as well.
Oh, interesting. So lots of talented people involved with Big Finish. And as we said, talented actors. And if we turn to the first season of Sapphire and Steel audio dramas from Big Finish, we can talk about the actors playing some of the main operatives. So now in the role of Steele, we have a very well-known British actor, David Warner, who's had a very long and successful career. He's been in loads of film and television, including playing three separate roles in various versions of Star Trek. And he plays Steele. And the operative Steele, like the other operatives in the Sapphire and Steele stories, they have special powers or abilities. And Steele has the ability, he has great strength, but he's also able to freeze objects and reduce his own temperature if necessary. Plus, he can also do things like sealing locks and doors if something needs to be kept in or kept out at various points in stories. But he's a very determined character, Steele, very much like in the original stories. He's the leader. He wants to get things done. And as you say, Brian, he's perhaps less interested in the actual fates of the humans involved. He's more concerned about the breakout of time and the problems with time and putting it right and getting the job finished.
Humans don't mean very much to him. Very interesting character for both what we know and what we don't know. And David Warner has done a great job with that character. I always remember David Warner as being the villain in Tron, the movie from the 80s.
That's right, yes. And of course, as you, the villain in Time Bandits as well.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he's been in all sorts of things. He's really done a great deal of stuff. And he's very, very good.
Yeah.
Susanna Harker took on the role of Sapphire. She is, I think, maybe best known for the House of Cards miniseries, which was a wonderful show from, I think, was it the early 1990s or the late 1980s?
It'd be about that time, yes, I think so.
Yeah, around then. It was a very good political drama, and she, I think, was not very well known at that point, but had a very strong performance as one of the leads in there across from Ian Richardson. And she is quite well remembered for that, of course. For British Invaders fans, she was a major character in Ultraviolet, and that was sort of a big science fiction role for her. And she has done lots of other things. She's been in other Big Finish productions, notably the Big Finish production of Shada, the incomplete Douglas Adams Doctor Who story, and so on. Sapphire has these strange abilities with time. She can take time back. She can reverse time for a short period and go back to an earlier time, or create time loops in a specific area to sort of act as miniature traps and things for limited periods of time. She can do these sort of things, manipulating time, but within, very much within limits of how much space and how far she can go with the time and so on. We never know exactly what those limits are, of course, but there are very clearly limits on those kinds of things. She is also more empathic with the humans and not quite so cold and calculating as Steel is. She is the one who deals with humans and gets to sort of persuade humans to go along with what they're doing and be a bit of the controlling influence there. She is able to look at objects and determine how old they are and something of what their past is. And of course, the various operatives and specialists and the like, Sapphire and Steel and the others, are able to communicate with each other telepathically as well.
I've got enough reason for a fourth edition of my book.
What is this place?
An auction house. A place where objects are sold to the highest bidder.
What kind of objects?
Works of art, antiquities, antiques, items of worth to collectors.
I see. And what items of worth were on sale here?
Items of horology, Steel. Pocket watches, clocks, related books.
The reason for our being here?
It's hard to say. I can feel something, but it's unusual. Not time, but similar.
A transient?
No. Something far less defined. Something that's caused a disturbance in linear time.
Is it an object or a person?
I can't tell at the moment. But there are layers here, Steel. At least two different, yet connected.
So it's a sort of interesting and unusual group of characters that we don't know that much about, but at the same time, they're very intriguing.
They are, yes. And as you say, we've got, as well as Sapphire and Steel, we've got other operatives. And again, like the television show, we have these other agents turning up when they're needed or might be needed, or they sometimes just seem to get involved. And we have, again, we have the character of Silver, and we have the original actor, David Collins, reprising his role from the television show, and I think doing a very good job, actually. He's a very sort of entertaining and amusing actor. He's another actor who seems to be enjoying himself in all his roles, and again, he seems to be having great fun playing Silver.
He's always good, and he was his performance as Silver is really quite neat. It's very good.
Yes, because he seems to enjoy teasing the sort of very stern Steel, and also has a sort of mildly flirtatious relationship with Sapphire. So David Collins is back as Silver, and then we have a new character called Gold, played by British Invaders' favourite, Mark Gatiss, who again has done quite a bit of work with Big Finish, and here he is again, cropping up in a couple of stories as this character Gold, who seems to get involved or get in the way sometimes, it seems. But good fun whenever they're there, Silver and Gold.
Yes, Mark Gatiss, of course, has both written and acted for Big Finish, and he's done a wide variety of things. I think at the moment, he is best known for being one of the two writers and producers for the series Sherlock, the sort of reimagining of Sherlock Holmes in the present day. And he also appears as an actor in that, as Mycroft.
Yes, and very good he is in that show.
So in this first season of Big Finish, Sapphire and Steel, they did five stories that went into things like haunted trains and archaeological digs involving like a plague pit and a series of tragic events surrounding a lighthouse. There were some serious and rather adult issues that came into Sapphire and Steel in the audio version. They would take on issues like suicide and capital punishment and things related to homosexuality and persecution with that. Some interesting things there, for sure. Getting into a bit of the production side on Big Finish Sapphire and Steel with this first series, Nigel Fairs, who was the producer and sort of like a showrunner for Big Finish Sapphire and Steel, he and Jason Hay-Gellery, who is the head of Big Finish, the two of them took about 2 years to obtain the rights for Sapphire and Steel. It really took some negotiation for them to get that, but they did get those rights and set up a production, and the production and starting putting things together for that started up in about 2004.
That's right. And as you say, there's this production team who managed to get the rights and are very keen to do Sapphire and Steel. And interestingly, they did try to get the original actors. They did try to get David McCallum and Joanna Lumley to reprise their roles. But unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, they weren't able to. David McCallum was interested, but was busy with his American series, which I think is called NCIS, Brian, that he does.
I think that's right. That may have been what he was busy with at the time. Certainly there were a lot of things that he was doing, and a lot of it was in the US.
So I don't think he could get away to do the Big Finish stuff. And they also approached Joanna Lumley, but she felt, I think, that she had done what she wanted to do with the project and didn't really want to be involved after so much time had passed. So they were left to sort of recast, as we've said, with David Warner and Susanna Harker, who we think do a very good job, actually, as taking over these roles of these rather mysterious operatives.
Yes, they were not impersonating the originals at all. It was not meant to be identical to what you had on TV, but it sort of took it in a slightly different direction in terms of those characters, but at the same time felt very faithful and sort of worked well with the ideas of Sapphire and Steel.
And as you say, we've got Nigel Fairs, who seems really to be one of the main driving forces behind this Big Finish production of audio dramas. He certainly wrote and directed several episodes, but he also wrote music for them, and he did some of the sound design, again with help from Nick Briggs, who's very good at the sound design for these audio productions. So lots of work going on with the sort of design and sound of them.
Yes, Nigel Fairs tends to be very heavily involved in certain series of the things that Big Finish does. He was sort of heading up and running the Big Finish Tomorrow People run, which ran for a number of years and was quite successful until, unfortunately, Big Finish lost the license for that. But Nigel Fairs was heavily involved with that, and he was then also heavily involved with Sapphire and Steel. And he has also done quite a bit with the Doctor Who Companion Chronicles, which are stories from the companion's point of views. And he has also done a lot now with this new Drama Showcase series. What they did when they were working with this, at the time, new Sapphire and Steel audio series, they put things together with a number of the writers that they have working for them and did things in sort of a style that reflected the original series and put in some new ideas into it. And they built things with some very spooky sound design. It was really very good. I think the sound design and sound production and sort of staging, how it sounds like voices are positioned and so on, in Big Finish work is always very good. But certainly it was very good with Sapphire and Steel. And they used things like bits of nursery rhymes and bits of music. Ticking clocks were very prominent in Sapphire and Steel. You often hear ticking clocks at certain points of the story, and it's something that is sort of heavy with meaning in the context of Sapphire and Steel, which works very well and adds to the sort of spooky atmosphere, which is really nice.
Yes, it's beautifully done. There's always plenty of stuff going on. And some of the music that Nigel Fairs wrote as well helps and with the atmosphere. Very, very good spooky stuff.
Yes, absolutely. I think Nigel Fairs was a very good choice to do a lot of the Sapphire and Steel things, his sound production and music, I think, tends towards the spooky side a little bit anyhow, so it worked very well.
Yep, very good.
I've been waiting.
Hello, Steel. It's been a long time.
Yes. What have you observed?
We're on a train. It's an old train. Outdated technology. Pistons driven by steam from a boiler. But it feels quite new.
Are we alone?
No. There's a man in one of the first-class compartments, a businessman, 66 years old. Older than the train, but at the same time younger.
And?
Nobody else.
So next time on British Invaders, we will talk about the other two series of Big Finish, Sapphire and Steel, and the differences in tone between Series 1 and 2 and 3, because there are some differences between those seasons, for sure.
Yeah, and we'll also go on to discuss some of our favourite individual stories, and of course get round to telling you how you can listen to them yourself. Plus we'll do our own sort of reviews and recommendations and wrap-up, so lots to get to when we come back next time.
Absolutely. Plenty to talk about for some really good stuff here, for sure. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Do drop back and join us next time. Until then, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.